A few weeks ago, I received a phone call from a young pastor in distress. He's a former student of mine and pastors a very large church in Toronto. He's an excellent preacher. His sermons are truly majestic. But he was in a panic because he was stuck in the annual pastor's dilemma. What to preach on during December. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, John, it's obvious. It's December. You preach on the Christmas story. But the challenge for a decent preacher is to take what is old and familiar and present it in a way that is fresh, that is contemporary, and that is relevant for our times. I mean, for example, if after 10 or 12 times of specifically focusing on the angel's message to the shepherds, you're going to preach on it again, there's a very good chance that that sermon's going to be quite predictable. And, of course, being predictable has a close cousin known as being boring. And to be predictable and boring, well, that's a preacher's worst nightmare. So I felt the pain of my young friend, and I shared with him what the Lord has put on my heart to preach on this December at Byron Community Church, right here on our online series. As I told him what I was going to look at, he shared how excited he was, and he even asked if he could borrow it. I happily obliged. In fact, many of you have shared a similar reaction when you have discovered what we are looking at this month here at Byron Community Church. It's just one word, a one-word title, but it really captures the essence. It characterizes the general tone of 2020. Unexpected. A few nights ago, we were around our dining room table, and a couple of our TV reality fans informed me that there is a popular show that has a brand slogan that is the phrase, expect the unexpected. How true of 2020. Expect the unexpected. I'm still haunted by the first sermon I preached this year in January. It was full of bold predictions, fearless forecasts, a healthy dose of crystal ball projections. And you know what happened? COVID-19 changed everything. We really didn't see it coming. This pandemic has impacted our healthcare system, our economy, our families, even how churches like Byron Community Church function as we deal with this pandemic. It also raises some really big questions that go even far beyond a pandemic. How do we cope when we are dealing with unexpected surprises or upheavals in life? Where does God fit in? And where can we go for inspiration, encouragement, and even answers to these big questions? Well, I would suggest there are several options because our God is the God of the unexpected, and He often deals in mysterious and unexpected ways. But there is a character, you know him well from the Christmas story, and I believe that his experience gives us insights that will really help us as we deal with the unexpecteds of our life. So what I want to do this month is look at this series called Unexpected and we are going to look at the Christmas story from Joseph's perspective. So if you've got a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be in this passage for a couple of weeks. We'll begin this weekend, and then we will finish it up next weekend as we look at Matthew 1, 18 to the end of the chapter. This weekend, we're looking at the unexpected with a focus on what I call the disruption. Next week, unexpected, looking at the destiny. And in our final segment, we're going to look at unexpected as we key in on the detours that we will see in Joseph's life. So Matthew 1:18 reads, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had had in mind to divorce her quickly or quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." We'll divide today's sermon in four parts. I want to look at some details as we meet Joseph. Then I want to look at the disruption. We're going to look at this unexpected surprise of the painful kind. Then we're going to look at doing what's right. I call this the compassionate factor. And then we'll close with a look at divine intervention. And we'll look at what I call the opportunity principle. So let's begin by introducing Joseph. Now it's interesting, when you look at Christmas cards, it's not unusual to see a card that just has the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus. You sometimes ask, where's Joseph? Or our Christmas carols. Like you, I love Silent Night. But did you notice it's round yon virgin, mother and child? Again, where's Joseph? I've seen even some Christmas ornaments, nativity sets, where everyone seems to be prominent, but Joseph is in the background. Now, there may be reasons for this. Truly, we would say Joseph was the strong and silent type. We know that he is from the lineage of David. We're going to talk more about that next week. We know that he was from Nazareth, and we're going to consider that a whole lot 2 weeks from today. But we want to also recognize that he was a carpenter, and we have proof that Joseph trained Jesus as a young man in carpentry. But there's a whole lot we don't know about Joseph. We have no great statements from Joseph. We have statements from Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, angels, but Joseph just seemed to have nothing to say. Nor do we have songs. We have the song of Zechariah, we have the song of Mary, but again, Joseph didn't write or sing any songs. It could be said of Joseph that he was very ordinary. That he was an ordinary Joe. And that may be not what we expect. Because you would think that the person in the role of secondary dad to Jesus would be prestigious or famous, someone very influential. But instead, you've got this ordinary, poor carpenter from Nazareth, Joseph, and he would have that role in Jesus' life. Well, let's move on to what I'm calling the disruption. We're told here, as Matthew deals very straightforward, I mean, he says this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. He isn't one for embellishing or sensationalizing the account, but as we see it, it really is a real-life drama. There's a lot of intrigue about it. We're told that Jesus' mother was pledged to be married to Joseph. It was what was then called a betrothal, and much more significant than an engagement today. It was legal. It was official. It was a binding agreement where a woman, that's how it worked back in that culture, she was pledged or promised by her family to be married to a young man. She would have lived with her dad up to the point of marriage to Joseph. They would have actually had very little interaction, let alone sexual intercourse. So we see this situation, and it seems at this point that it's a very normal, typical relationship back then. Then we encounter the word but, always a key word in Scripture. But before they came together, we believe geographically and intimately, she was found to be pregnant. What a jolt to Joseph. If you're like me, you've got questions. How did he find out? When did he find out? Early in the pregnancy? Later, after Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth? Like, where does it all fit? But Joseph found out, maybe even through the grapevine, which would be even worse. Poor Joseph. What an unexpected surprise. Because what's worse, Joseph knew for a fact that he wasn't the dad. It seemed obvious that Mary had been unfaithful, and it left Joseph with some options. He felt he just had a few choices. One choice would have been to stone Mary. This is what was done back in Old Testament times. It was not acceptable by the Roman authorities, so it really wasn't a viable option. The other option was to shame her, to take Mary to court, to publicly disgrace her, and what Joseph would ensure is that Mary's reputation would take a hit and not his reputation. But we also see Joseph considering the option of divorcing her quietly. Because this betrothal was more significant than an engagement, this is why we see this notion of this formal break or divorce. And Joseph had grounds for it on the basis of Mary's unfaithfulness, but it was also a way to protect her reputation. However, the risk was he would lose reputation. People would start whispering, why did Joseph and Mary get divorced? And perhaps rumors of her pregnancy were already circulating. So Joseph had some choices to make. What a mess. What a mess poor Joseph was in. It reminds me of one of my favorite Dr. Seuss poems. It's in a book called All the Places You Will Go. I think there's some really good theology in this selection from Dr. Seuss. Oh, the places you will go, you will be on the way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar the high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly it's true. that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and chances are then you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun, for unslumping yourself is not easily done. That statement, bang-ups and hang-ups, can happen to you. Often, unexpected surprises are painful. It's that unexpected notice that you have been laid off, or even worse, terminated. Maybe it's that rejection note from that university program you applied to. You were sure you were going to get in, and you received an unexpected rejection notice. Maybe it's a phone call from the doctor informing you that the tests aren't good. Maybe it's a tragic phone call informing you of an accident or a death. It's been almost a decade now, but I still remember fresh when my mom called me to inform me that there had been a big accident in the family, and my brother-in-law, Brian, had been killed in a motorcycle accident. I was very, very close to Brian, love him very much, and it was tragic, totally unexpected. We were heading up to their cottage to enjoy the weekend with my sister and Brian. Life can be like that. There can be some bad bumps, some extreme hang-ups along the way of life. And hey, COVID-19, I don't want to dwell on it, but it's not been easy. It's been hard. Some of you have lost wages. Some of you have not had opportunity to connect with family and friends. And we're very aware of families that have experienced serious health and even death issues. Life can be hard. Life can be difficult. And we see here that this was true of Joseph's experience. Now, before I get to our fourth and really finale of this message, I want to look at this third point of what I call doing the right thing. Because as we see, Joseph had some options before him. But because he was faithful to the law, so he wants to do what God would have him to do, and yet he did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He took the option that would most benefit Mary, not himself. I would argue that often, when we experience an unexpected surprise, a time of disruption or upheaval in life, we can be very self-absorbed. You and I are concerned about my rights, my reputation, what's best for me. But Joseph, and we know he loved Mary very much, but his concern was for Mary. He wanted to do the compassionate thing. And from God's perspective, doing the right thing is usually doing what is compassionate. I generally like TV commercials. One of my favorite commercials now is not popular in my household. It's a commercial about eggs. And the wife informs the husband that they're having eggs for dinner, and he protests, says that is so strange to have eggs for dinner. And she turns to him, and now you can see his whole self, and says, no, what's strange is the way you're wearing your pants. And if you've seen the commercial, the poor fellow has his pants hiked up around his shoulders. Apparently, I laugh every time it comes on. I'm not even conscious that I'm laughing at it. But that's not what I wanted to key in on. My commercial I want to highlight here about compassion. Have you seen the Cadbury chocolate bar commercial? I think it's so precious. You have a mom and her young son, and they're sitting on a bus, and they're facing across the aisle, and behind them is a young lady. She's very teary-eyed, and she is in some distress. We don't have a clue what's happened in her life. But that little boy has his chocolate bar open, and he looks over at her, and you see his little face. It's just full of pity and compassion and mercy. And there he offers the young lady a precious piece of his chocolate bar. When I see that commercial, every time I see it, no, I don't laugh. I go, that's what compassion looks like. Hey, I think it's a good lesson. Not our main lesson today, but when you find yourself in an upheaval or a disruption, when you get a blow in life, rather than first asking, what can I do for me? Ask yourself, how is someone else impacted? What can I do for that person? How can I show compassion to that individual? Let's look at our final point, and that I call God's intervention, or the opportunity principle. We're told that after Joseph had considered all his options, it's clear he has made a choice to divorce Mary quietly. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You'll see with Joseph, there were a lot of dreams. We're going to be looking at other dreams that Joseph had later in this series. I had a dream last night. I didn't have a great sleep, but I do remember my dream. But it's a reoccurring dream I have where I'm preaching and I'm totally unprepared. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. And for me, my guess is for Pastor Josh as well, that's a pastor's nightmare, to have that kind of experience in a dream. I hope it's not prophetic, or that none of you are saying today, hey, maybe you're living out your dream experience last night. I am prepared today. But Joseph had a dream, and the angel said to him, Joseph, don't be afraid. You do know, right, that that's the number one command in all of Scripture. We see it a lot in the Christmas story, these words, don't be afraid. Hey, guess what? When you're in a disruptive period, when you experience an upheaval, the natural response is to be afraid, to be fearful. What's going to happen next? How am I going to cope? How am I going to survive? But the angel of the Lord, representing our Heavenly Father, says, don't be afraid. The opposite of being afraid is to trust. Put your confidence in your Heavenly Father. He's got this. He will look after you. But there's more to it. He says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Mary, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then the angel goes on and tells Joseph that he will be given this responsibility of naming God's son. Everyone would have expected the baby will be named Joe Jr., but his name would be Jesus. The most precious name throughout history. Joseph had that awesome responsibility of naming the baby. Hey, God the Father selected Joseph. He knew that Joseph was a guy he could count on. God wasn't looking for someone extraordinary. He wasn't looking for a superstar. He was okay with an ordinary man who would be faithful to him, who would be obedient, who would show compassion to others. I would say that Joseph was God's kind of man. So we see this divine intervention. Joseph, I've got a plan, and you need to follow through with it. And I just want to wrap up with two or three observations. Let's, first of all, talk about a couple of principles that we see here. When you're in that position of upheaval, when you're dealing with a jolt, when something rocks your world, please remember that God is always in control. I've said it often, and I will repeat it again. God never says, oops, I didn't see that coming. Our sovereign God, who knows all things, is never caught off guard. There's never a time where God would determine that that was outside the scope of his sovereignty or his control. And that is why we can trust God, because God has promised that he will always be with us. He'll be for us. He'll never forsake us. So put your confidence in God. But the second principle is very important. I know it's a difficult one, and you're going to need to think about it and reflect on it. The way I put it is, with God, often unexpected blessings or opportunities come at us initially disguised as an unexpected upheaval or disruption. Is that ever true in Joseph's case? If you had asked Joseph at a particular point in this historical account, Joseph, what's going on here? What's happening? Joseph would have said, this is just simply a terrible disruption, a terrible upheaval in my life. But the full picture, if we look at this with the lenses of God, we see that, no, this was going to be an unexpected opportunity for Joseph to be involved in significant service for God. So again, meditate on this. Often, unexpected blessings or opportunities come to us disguised as unexpected disruptions or unexpected upheavals. And God can always turn what we see as a negative experience into something that he will use in the most positive way. I'm often asked, how much did Joseph understand? Was he fully enlightened as to what was going on? I don't know. I think he knew enough to put his confidence in God. He knew enough to step out in obedience and to take Mary as his wife. Great risk, a great step of faith. Joseph's reputation would have taken a hit. There would have been suspicion that Joseph and Mary had had sexual relations before their official marriage. But Joseph knew that he could trust in God no matter what happened. When I think of enlightenment and I think of Joseph's position, I think of a little statement in Isaiah chapter 50. I think this is very important for any of you who might be in a dark place. Maybe you're currently dealing with upheavals and disruptions in your life. Here we read, let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Isn't that a great statement? Maybe this year, maybe this month, you find yourself where you feel that you're in that dark place, a place of uncertainty, a place of confusion. Let the one who walks in the dark, who doesn't have light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Next week, we're going to go back to Matthew 1, 18 to 25. We're going to be looking at the identity of this son, and we're going to talk about the destiny. And my prayer is that God will bless you in the next few days, and may this sermon be a blessing to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.